Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. What a crazy start to NFL free agency. The show is going to be all about what to make of the first couple of days. Who's a good fit? Who's a bad fit? Just instant reactions. I'm not going to go deep on, oh, this guy's worth a ton. In fact, I'm going to clown on that. But I am going to just comment on what's happened. And it has been an awesome kind of running back migration year. So many musical chairs. So I'll get to all of that on the flip side.
This is America. Don't get you slipping now. Don't get you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
Okay, what a couple days. Let's dig right in. So much activity. Like my Twitter handle, it's been going crazy. I guess it's called X now. I still struggle with that one. Okay, let's go into quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins. I like him. He's a great player. He just is, I don't see him as, he's not a difference maker, in my humble opinion. He's just a guy who can get the ball out there. So good signing for Atlanta. It's a lot of money. I don't subscribe to all the people out there saying, wait, we spent $180 million for Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an Achilles tear and is at the end of his career, and didn't pay $200 million last year for Lamar Jackson, who's 26 and former MVP, actually two-time MVP now. It's a different era, different coaching staff, all you know, whatnot. I don't disagree with that take. I think he's a very good player. Obviously, he's a very good player, but maybe he's not a good fit. I don't know if he's a player that fits in any system. Like, you could put Patrick Mahomes in any system. I think you can put Kirk Cousins in a ton of different systems too. He's played in several different offenses. He's been productive. Here's my issue though. Cousins has had awesome pass catching weapons in Minnesota, not just Jefferson, JJ Jets, but also Adam Thielen has a really good player in his prime. And with him, Stephon Diggs. So they've had really good talent around him, like top-notch receivers, three guys that have made multiple Pro Bowls during that period of time, solid tight end talent as well, good running backs. He played with Dalvin Cook for most of his tenure in Minnesota, and he put up numbers. But just to say, hey, he's going to Atlanta, and all of a sudden Drake London is a top five wide receiver, and Kyle Pitts is now the number one tight end, is insane. People are going to way overdraft those guys this year. And let me just put this, a capper on this. There's a lot of people out there with mock drafts that have the Falcons taking a receiver in the top 10. Don't boohoo that. Drake London is good, but in this draft, I don't know if he's a first-round pick. Look at his combine performance, his overall measurables. He's a tall guy, 6'5", 210. He was decently productive in college. He had 1,000 yards and double-digit TD his last year at USC. But that was a wacky season. They played a kind of hodgepodge schedule. It was COVID. Look at the receivers in this draft. You have absolute studs, people that were highly productive in college, as productive or way more than London, and then just balled out at the combine. This draft is so deep at receiver. So Drake London, good player. Is he a elite top five talent if he had Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. I don't think so. So look, Drake London values up. Kyle Pitts values up. Even Bijan Robinson values up on this. Definitely all good stuff. But are they top, go get them, wide receiver one, tight end one? Maybe Pitts is tight end one, but that's not saying a lot, right? He could be like 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th performer, which I think is very doable and I think possible with this new system. But I don't see London being a top 10 guy. I just don't. So good fit for Atlanta. I think it's a little bit of a downgrade for Kirk Cousins, to be totally honest. We don't know the offensive system and the weapons aren't proven, but he's solid. It really hurts Minnesota. So it will be interesting to see what they do there. They picked up Sam Darnold. Obviously, he's a stopgap. We've seen enough of Sam Darnold to know that he's not the main guy. I have to think that Minnesota has either got another move up its sleeve, a Justin Fields, although probably not. Maybe a trade up for a JJ McCarthy or a Michael Penix they take in the first round. Something's happening there. So definitely a downgrade there. I think if you look at Justin Jefferson without Kirk Cousins last year with a Sam Darnold type guy thrown to him, he still was a wide receiver one. That's how talented he was. In fact, the four starts or five starts he made without Cousins, I think he was averaging like 110 yards and over a touchdown a game. So very good player. Don't have to worry about him. But the other weapons definitely hurt. I think TJ Hawkinson's not as good. Addison's not going to get as much love. They're just not going to be as effective. Okay, keep moving here. Russell Wilson to Steelers. I really like this move. Russell Wilson is never going to be a quarterback one ever again, but he is a really good ball control, off-script type guy who makes high-percentage efficient throws. He's a really good fit for what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers want to do. And I actually think he's going to surprise as a solid kind of low-end QB2 in Superflex League, someone that's worthy of roster spots without a doubt and likely an every-week starter. Again, he's never going to be back to that let Russ cook MVP kind of conversation. That's just not how Pittsburgh plays. That's not what they're going to do. But and don't read into this, Kenny Pickett may still start. No way. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson, still a solid quarterback. He's on the decline, but he's a really good fit for that offense, in my opinion. I think this actually helps Pittsburgh quite a bit. Not a huge upgrade. I'm not going out and buying the Steelers receivers, but I think it's a good fit for them. He's going to relieve a little bit of the pressure they had with their offense the last couple of years, where they were really like flooding the line of scrimmage and defenses were just not giving any trust to anything down the field. And again, Russell Wilson's arm is not great. He's been throwing let shorter throws. I think he led the league in throws behind the line of scrimmage and from 5 to 10 yard kind of range. So again, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's even an all pro. Maybe he's a pro bowler because everyone doesn't want to play in the Pro Bowl anymore. But I think it's a really good fit. I think he's a low end quarterback too, someone that's got legitimate value in super flex leagues. I'm going to jump around here. Sam Darnold, I mentioned, I don't think he's a permanent solution. I wouldn't bet that he starts even double digit games next year, but I could be wrong. He has talent. He just mentally loses it, throws bad passes, lets balls float. So he's up and down. Maybe KOC can unlock him. He's definitely got great pass receiving talent there. If he's ever going to make it work, it's going to be this year with the Vikings. I just wouldn't bet on it. Tyrod Taylor, Jets, really like this move. Taylor can never stay healthy, but he's a very good kind of yeoman's like number two. He could be a spot starter. If they had Tyrod Taylor last year and he'd started all the games after A-Rod got hurt, they're in the playoffs. I bet my life on that one. So other guys that have been picked up who look like they're going to get starting looks, Jacoby Brissett in New England likely starts a couple games or more depending on who they draft and how they do in the draft. They're clearly going to take a quarterback, if not the third pick, someone later, maybe Bo Nix in the second round or trade up in the late first. So Brissett, solid guy. I think I like him actually at fantasy. He's a late QB2, really QB3 in super flex leagues. But I like him in the real world as a kind of stopgap veteran presence and really strong number two. And then Gardner Minshew, totally underrated, solid quarterback too. While he starts in the rate with in Las Vegas, I don't know how long he'll start, but I like him. He got a 2-year, $25 million deal. So he, of all the backup kind of guys, he got the most money. He got more money than Tyrod Taylor by $7 million. He got more money than Sam Darnold. Obviously a lot more money than Russell Wilson, but that's a screwy thing where Denver's still paying him $38 million. So he took a 1-year, $1.21 million contract, which by the way, no risk for the Steelers. Absolutely no risk for the Steelers. And this is like their biggest gap in their team. So really like that for them overall. What else? Mariota, 1 year for $6 million to back up in Commanders. I do not like this. I'm sorry. Loved Marcus Mariota in college. I loved him early on. He's lost the will. I would have done that. Jameis Williams, 1 year, $4 million. I like that. As a backup in Cleveland, it's a good spot. He may start some games. I think he's got a better arm and he's better situation than Joe Flacco at this point. But again, it's a cheap kind of deal. So that's where we're at with the quarterback spot. Okay, let's jump to running backs. This is the craziest position by a wide margin, and a lot of craziness happened. Okay, first, Saquon Barkley went from the Giants to the Eagles. Yes, interdivision, say what you want to say about that. Barkley, though, if he can stay healthy, is dynamic and a really good fit here from a running efficiency standpoint. I think his efficiency goes up. He has less touches, but he probably is more productive with it and he'll stay healthier because he's doing more with less touches, less chance to get injured. People are going to hype up the passing situation here, the dynamic that thing he brings. But look, I encourage you to look at the stats with Hurts at quarterback. For whatever reason, Hurts is not great at throwing to the backs. He throws a lot of short balls and quick passes to tight ends, to Devontae Smith, even AJ Brown, a lot of quick hitting stuff, not as much with the backs. And if you look at, like, there's a ton of guys. Miles Sanders was actually a really good pass catching back in college, came in the pros, wasn't utilized that way. DeAndre Swift is really good pass catcher, and we'll get to him in a second because he moved to the Chicago Bears. He's plummeted in terms of receiving yards and catches in Philly. So maybe that changes. Maybe they run some design screens. But I really like Barkley there, and I think Barkley's more established. He's a low-end RB1, maybe mid-RB1 with the Eagles. I don't know if he has a tremendous upside because he's not going to get the pass-catching stuff, and he's probably going to get overdrafted. People are going to be very excited about this. In the real world, I think this is a great fit for them. It's a little bit more money than I thought they would ever spend on a running back, but it's a really good fit with their offensive line, with Hurts as a threat, and their overall offensive weapons. It really elevates their skill position players. I think them and the 49ers now are clearly a head above anybody else. Again, Brock Purdy might be a weak spot for the Niners. In the Phillies case, there are a few other things there, but those teams are pretty stacked with Christian McCaffrey at running back and now Barkley at running back in Philly, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. The Niners have got Debo Samuel, obviously Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle. So really good situation there. Josh Jacobs moving from Las Vegas to Green Bay. Some people out there are really poo-hooing this. They're like, I preferred Aaron Jones. Jacobs is such a dynamic player. You watched him at Alabama. You watched him in moments in the Raiders. He's played in a really cathartic, or not cathartic, like a kind of a cluster offense with the Raiders, in a more dynamic open system with LaFleur calling the plays. I think Jacobs has a chance to really have his special seasons here. And he's more than three years younger than Jones. And they essentially signed him to a four-year kind of, but it's like year after year. He's guaranteed, I think, $14 million the first year, and all of the rest of the years are option years. So really good signing for Green Bay. And I think an awesome spot for Jacobs. I think he can really do some damage there. I like him as a guy who can really have the special seasons and potentially challenge for that kind of RB1 spot alongside Christian McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson and folks like that. Next, really like this signing. Still yet to be determined if this is a really good signing and whether he'll actually get the fantasy workload that we want. But Gus Edwards with the Chargers, watch the draft here. If someone like a Blake Corum falls to the Chargers in the third round, that's going to mean definitely a backseat for Edwards at some point, because Harbaugh is going to run and ride his college back. But Edwards is a really good fit for Jim Harbaugh's offense. He's a really good fit for what Herbert and team want to do. They want to pound the ball, control the clock, and then take shots down the field with Herbert's arm and the receivers they've got there. And so Edwards, this likely is a year where Edwards is going to get his most carries and touches in a really symbiotic offense for his style. So I really like that. Almost part and parcel, and I like this even more, is Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. Derrick Henry, has he lost like a half step? Yes. But is he still is he Hall of Famer? Yes, 100%. He's a much better Gus Edwards and a really good fit for this Ravens offense. He brings the pound, so on short yardage, goal line, that they've lacked the last couple of years. And Edwards did a good job last year, but he's been in and out of the lineup. But he's more explosive than Edwards, and he fits that Lamar Jackson lightning thing really well, because he's really a explosive, big running back himself. I think that's a really good fit. He signed 2 years, $16 million. I think it can go up to like mid-20s with extension or with incentives. So really good signing there. Just to recap, I got Barkley as an RB1 in his new home, but not as strong as I think what most people are going to have. I think Jacobs is a guy who's going to surprise and be better than people expect. I like Gus Edwards. He's going to be undervalued, but watch the draft there. Derrick Henry, really like this. I actually think Derrick Henry's value is much better this coming year than it has been the last 2 years or so. He's in a more dynamic offense. Lamar Jackson's going to give him more room to run, and their offense is just going to score more. So he's just going to get more opportunities to get the running scores. Next, I've got DeAndre Swift in Chicago. I don't know how I feel about this. They gave him, it looks like it's a 1 year kind of short guaranteed deal, but it's listed as 3 years, $24 million. Swift's a much more dynamic player than, say, Herbert or Roschon Johnson. But he's a little bit more of an outside the tackles type of guy, like bounce everything out. I don't know if he's an every down guy. You saw that last year in Philadelphia. He bounced everything. He got off to a really hot start when people realized he just wanted to bounce everything. They forced him in. He was a lot less effective in the second half of the year. They didn't use him in the pass game, though. So I think what I like about this for the Bears, they can use him as a kind of like an RB1A, like a 1A guy, but they're really going to use him more as change of pace. Like, in 2-minute offense, he's the guy in the field. They'll give him some zones, some stutters, play action, and then obviously some stuff in the flats. But they're probably going to still use a guy like Khalil Herbert or Roschon Johnson between the tackles, kind of between the 20s. They're really going to mix and match there, is my guess. Austin Eckler, got a feel for this guy. Such a dynamic fantasy back. If fantasy back stats and productivity in fantasy translated to contracts, this guy would make so much more money. But he signed another really small deal, 2 years for $8 million. Apparently, it's got incentives up to 14 or 15, but I just really don't like this for him. I think it's a good fit with the new offensive system. He's clearly going to be there, you know, third down back, guy out of the backfield. He's not going to get the same touches, though. From a fantasy perspective, he falls really to be an RB3 flex type guy in Washington at this point in his career. Next on my list, I got Tony Pollard. Look, Tony Pollard, everyone was so hyped on this guy. He really struggled last year. And maybe you could say it was the injury, but he didn't have an injury that like lingers multiple years. It wasn't Achilles. It was like a broken bone, right? Broken ankle. So I don't know. We haven't seen the guarantees on this. My guess is he's like a 1B to Tajay Spears 1A, and they're going to use Tajay more in the kind of featured first down, second down, some throwing, because he's a really good receiving back. And Pollard's going to be the 1B. But I could be wrong about that. On the money side, obviously, Pollard's going to be making a lot more money. But you watched what he did last year in Dallas in a very dynamic offense. He was outplayed by the number two guy. And he'd never been the number one guy even before that. So he's never been a number one guy, period, in his career. So we'll see. Devin Singletary. I always like Singletary. Good fit with the Giants. He signed a deal that, for money-wise, is big enough. I suspect the Giants draft somebody as well, probably in the third or fourth round, someone who's going to be pretty good. But I like Singletary as a solid contributor, probably RB3 going into the auction or drafts with a chance to be sneaking RB2, given that they're going to run, try to control the ball quite a bit. By the way, Pollard, I've got him as an RB3 with upside to RB2. Don't get caught up in any other stuff, I think. And then the only other guy that's signed, we've got a bunch of other guys that are still available, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Dalvin Cook, A.J. Dillon, Zeke Elliott, Alexander Mattison. The only other guy that's still out there, or the only other guy that's signed in a stable situation, is Zach Moss. And Zach Moss signed 2-year, $8 million deal with Cincy. He is the featured guy right now. That's another spot I'd look at the draft. There's going to be a lot of hype on Chase Brown, who was a rookie last year. The reason why he was available is they decided to dump Mixon, and they traded Mixon to the Texans, which, by the way, is one of the better fits. If he's healthy, he's got a lot of tear on his body. He's going to be a really solid RB2 with potentially RB1 next year in a very dynamic offense. And on that note, I missed this too. Aaron Jones got released and immediately signed with Minnesota. I really like that fit. Minnesota's dynamic, open offense. Now there's a question of the quarterback spot. So that's an open-ended question until we get to kind of July. We know what they did in the draft. We know what they did beyond with Sam Darnold. But I think that's a good offensive fit for Jones. I think he's shown he can be productive even with a kind of mediocre quarterback situation. He's going to be out to prove himself. He signed a 1-year deal. So I like him as a really solid RB3 with potential to even move up to RB2, RB1, depending on how the offensive system works out there. Okay, that was a lot to talk about. A lot of guys changed hands there. So there's a lot going on. Receiver, a lot less available players and a lot less activity. So as of Tuesday night, we really only have two guys that are like guys you want to talk about from a fantasy perspective, and only three that I can see here on my list who have signed. It's Darnell Mooney, who signed 3 years and $39 million. Boy, is it good to be a number three wide receiver under 27 years old in the NFL. That's crazy. These guys are signing for more than any of the running backs who are, you know, featured all pro top picks, like a Barkley, like a Josh Jacobs. So Mooney signed 3 years, $39 million. And then Gabe Davis, and Mooney signed with the Falcons, by the way, just compelling. Don't rule him out as a guy that actually ends up outproducing anyone else at wide receiver, although I'm not a huge fan. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Mooney's definitely in the mix there. And then Gabe Davis with Jacksonville signed 3-year, $39 million as well. I don't think this is a huge loss. He's a talented guy who he's not consistent. So I'm not too worried about that. Only other guy that signed is a total kind of backup third, fourth guy. And Noah Brown with the Texans re-signed 1 year, $5 million. Other things that happened here, Deontay Johnson got traded from the Steelers for a cornerback and a pick swap, late pick swap to Carolina. I think that's a good fit. He's a younger, a little bit more dynamic, but less proven Adam Thielen type. So now they've got a couple security blankets. Johnson can definitely get open. He'll get space, which can be good for Bryce Young. And that's the extent of it. We still got Calvin Ridley out there, Josh Reynolds, Odell Beckham. There's just not a lot of receiver talent, but that's good because the draft is very deep this year. Okay, last but not least, our tight ends. The biggest tight end deal so far is Noah Fant, who's got a tremendous amount of talent, but he's been stuck in kind of tough, difficult, not dynamic passing offensive situations, and he kept himself in one by signing a 2-year, $21 million extension to stay in Seattle. Not a great spot for him, but it is what it is. Mike Gesicki left New England, went to Cincinnati for a 1-year prove-it deal. I like that situation for him. He's going to be a sleeper tight end one in that offense. They moved the ball. It's a very interesting fit for him. Also, another one to be on the lookout for. Again, this is a prove-it type deal. Irv Smith Jr., who has a tremendous amount of talent. I really like this guy. Liked him at college at Alabama. I believe he was a second-round pick for the Vikings. Definitely, if he wasn't a second, he was a third-round pick. He's always looked good, but can't stay healthy. In fact, last year, he couldn't stay healthy with Cincinnati. He signed a 1-year kind of minimum deal with the Chiefs. So like that, if something happens to Kelce or even not, as a kind of wide tight end two with some upside. That's really it. Disley signed with the Chargers, 3-year, $14 million, but he's mostly going to be a blocking tight end in that situation. Austin Hooper signed a 1-year, $4 million deal with the Patriots. Adam Trautman signed a 2-year deal to return to Denver. And that's the extent of it. So what am I looking for in the next couple of days? Look, I am curious to see where Ridley ends up. I don't think he's a difference maker anymore, but he's someone who clearly he's good. Josh Reynolds, I like Reynolds as well. He's a dynamic player, he's still coming up. He's 29, but he got a late start. He's a very good player. In the right situation, he could be a solid kind of wide receiver too and be a decent fantasy producer. And that's basically it. There's not a lot of additional skill position talent out there. The conversation everyone can't stop talking about is what happens with Justin Fields in Chicago. One rumor is that they don't know. They don't know if they want to trade him. They don't know what they're going to do with the pick. I find that hard to believe. And if that's true, it's bad management by the front office there. So who knows? And then there's some other like trades along the margins, like Khalil Herbert getting dealt, Jimmy Garoppolo. Does he get picked up by someone like a Minnesota? A place like that where he immediately is in the mix to start. I suspect something like that could happen. But then we're going to be looking just at, you know, what's going to happen in the draft. And I think that's the big shoe left to drop, because there are some talented backs that are going to go definitely third, fourth round. Those guys in there are guys that teams are drafting. They're expecting those guys to contribute immediately. So that changes the depth chart situation. And then certainly at quarterback, wide receiver, and then at tight end with Jatavani and Sanders, the Texas tight end, and then certainly Brock Bowers. Those guys are depth chart changers. Those are guys that we're going to be looking at fantasy. So many of these guys are ready. They played a lot in college. They're supremely talented, as we saw in the combine, athletically. They've had the productivity at the college level. So they're going to come in and produce guys like Malik Nabers, Rome Odunzu, Marvin Harrison Jr., Donald Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin. All these guys have had multiple thousand-ish plus yard seasons, if not three plus. I'm missing some guys. Keon Coleman had a great breakout year in Florida State. He's a beast. There's just a ton of talent. And at quarterback, you've got several guys who have played a ton of snaps. And I'd be curious to see, like, Caleb Williams has played a decent amount of college games. He's going to walk in a little bit less on the Drake May and Jaden Daniels start, but Michael Penix, Bo Nix, these guys are veterans. They played a ton of games. They're walking in ready to go day one. So anyhow, on that note, I know I belabored the point, a lot of content. I'm very excited. If you want to follow along, you can go to the X Twitter handle, which is FF Collective, at FF Collective. Or FS Collective, Fantasy Sports Collective. There's a lot going on there, but it's going to be exciting. But it looks like we're about to take a break here for about a couple of weeks. We'll get a lot of this pro day news, and then we get the draft at the end of April. We get the mini camps in May. That stuff goes a little bit dry until there might be some June cuts, but we really go dry until camps open up in late July and we start getting the real kind of concrete news about depth charts and how people are looking in pro uniforms and pro sets in August. And then we get the season going. So anyhow, on that note, have an awesome rest of your week. Great week ahead. Enjoy all the news and take care. Bye-bye.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said up.